Well, good morning. If we haven't met, I'm Tim. I'm one of the pastors here at Glenkirk. And here at Glenkirk, we've spent the last 6 weeks, a season that we call Lent, preparing ourselves for today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And whether you're a regular attender here at Glenkirk or an occasional attender, or you're here for the first time with a friend, we want to welcome you and let you know that we're glad that you're here. Now, I didn't grow up in a very religious household. And so I grew up thinking that Easter was primarily about Easter egg baskets, family dinners, and springtime. And it wasn't until I became a Christian during my first year of college that I came to see that Easter is first and foremost about the resurrection of Jesus. And so that's what I want to talk about in my few minutes with you today. Have you ever thought that you were at the end of a story only to find out that you were somewhere in the middle? When the first Lord of the Rings movie came out in 2001, I took my youngest two sons to see it. Now, they had both read the books, and they were excited to see how Peter Jackson adapted J.R. Tolkien's masterpiece to film. And The Fellowship of the Ring was a great movie, but I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I didn't know that it was the first of three movies that was about to come out. And so when the credits started rolling, just as Frodo and Sam started their journey towards Mordor and the movie was over, I was caught a little off guard because I was expecting an ending. And the film ended right in the middle of the story. Sometimes we think we're at the end of a story, only to find out that we're somewhere in the middle. And when Jesus died on the cross, many people at first thought that was the end of his story. People had great expectations about what Jesus was going to do. They expected Jesus to be a conqueror, a hero, a political messiah who would vanquish their enemies. They expected Jesus to usher the nation of Israel into an unprecedented time of prosperity and political dominance over the other nations of the world. And those expectations were shattered when the religious leaders rejected Jesus, accusing him of blasphemy. And then when the Roman leaders crucified him for rebellion. When Jesus died on the cross, those who loved him and who followed him thought that was the end of the story. Roll the credits. Yet another tragedy. But Easter reminds us that it was not the end. And today I want to look at one of my favorite Easter passages in the Bible, the story of Jesus appearing to two people on the road to Emmaus from the book of Luke. So as is our practice here at Glenkirk, if you're willing and able, would you stand for our Bible reading today from Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They woke up, or they went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. You can be seated. Two of Jesus's followers, one named Cleopas, are walking home from Jerusalem. Just a week earlier, they had followed Jesus into the city of Jerusalem in order to celebrate the Jewish Passover. And they were caught up in the excitement as people waved palm branches and sang and shouted, "Hosanna." But by Friday of that week, their excitement gave way to panic, and then it turned to grief as they witnessed what happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. And as they try to process what they've experienced, suddenly Jesus appears to them. Verse 16 tells us that their eyes were prevented, presumably by God prevented, from recognizing Jesus at first. But this was Jesus, the one who'd been rejected by their religious leaders, the one who had been crucified by the Romans, the one who had been buried in a borrowed tomb, the one who had risen from the dead, the one who left the grave empty. And Jesus asks what they're talking about, and Cleopas sums it up that Jesus was a prophet sent by God, a captivating teacher, a miracle worker, but who was rejected by their leaders and crucified by the Romans. Notice verse 21, "We had hoped he was the one." We had hoped, but now that hope was gone. Now that story had ended. But as they walk along the road, Jesus introduces them to a different story. Beginning with Moses and all the Hebrew prophets, Jesus tells a story where God's Messiah suffers before glory. From Genesis, the first book in the Bible, to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Jesus tells a story of God and God's promised suffering Messiah. And in this story, death is not the end. After death comes resurrection. Death is somewhere in the middle, but not at the end of the story. When they finally arrive in Emmaus, Cleopas and his friend urge Jesus to stay the night with them. Even though they don't yet know it's Jesus, they invite him into their home. And somewhere in between verse 29 and verse 30 of our reading, we find a subtle shift. Because in verse 29, Jesus is their guest as they welcome Jesus into their home. But in verse 30, suddenly Jesus is the host. As they sit down to eat, Jesus is the one who takes bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives it to them. All things that a host would do for their guests. In fact, Luke uses the exact same words here in verse 30 to describe what Jesus did at the Last Supper just a few days before this. And that's when they finally recognize him, in the breaking of bread. Suddenly, Jesus disappears from their sight. This is not the only time in the resurrection stories that Jesus will appear or disappear. And this tells us that although Jesus's resurrection was bodily, it was the same body that had been crucified, that in its resurrected and glorified and immortal condition, that it had new properties, the ability to appear and disappear. And after Jesus disappears, Cleopas and his companion reflect on their experience with Jesus. And they both admit that their hearts burned within them as he explained this story to them and that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Before Jesus appeared to them on that Easter Sunday, they thought they were at the end of a story. But through the resurrection, they discovered that they were somewhere in the middle. I know some of your stories today. As a pastor, people often trust some of the details of their stories to me, and being trusted with another person's story is a sacred trust that I don't take lightly, but I certainly don't know all of your stories. But I suspect that some of you are facing endings in your stories. Perhaps end-of-life issues, either for yourself or someone you care about. Might be facing the end of a relationship, the end of a career, the end of a dream, the end of a season. Some of you might be facing the end of a stage in your life, perhaps as you prepare to graduate from high school or college or grad school, or parents whose kids are on the verge of moving out and launching on their own. Or maybe some of you are getting ready to retire. Easter reminds us that the endings that we experience are not the end of our story. You see, you and I are part of a much bigger story. We are all part of God's story. God's story began at creation. And it's a story that continued on even after the entrance of sin and suffering and death into our world in Genesis 3. God's story is what brought Jesus into our world as he proclaimed God's love and announced the kingdom of God. In God's story, Jesus suffered, rejected by the religious establishment, crucified by the Roman government. But the cross was not the end. God's story continued to the resurrection. And God's story will someday reach its conclusion when Jesus returns to earth in glory to make all things new and set all wrongs right. God's story is a big story, a grand story, a story that starts on the first page of the Bible and ends on the last page. And whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are part of that story. And so whatever might feel like an ending today doesn't have to be an ending. Heartbreak and tragedy, pain and questioning, setbacks and failures, these things do not have to be the final chapter in our story. The ending of a relationship, the loss of our health, the death of a dream, these endings are not the end of our story. These things are hard and painful and difficult. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we can know that they are not the end of the story. You are not at the end of your story. Cleopas and his companion didn't realize any of this until the resurrected, risen Jesus stood among them. And even then, at first, they didn't even recognize him. They discovered that it was Jesus when he explained the Bible to them and when he broke the bread and served it to them. Through what we in church call through the word and the sacrament, they discovered the risen Jesus. And in that discovery, they found themselves invited to an even bigger story. So whether this Easter Sunday you believe in Jesus or not, Jesus is alive and is present in the circumstances of your life. He is working in unseen ways, even when our eyes are kept from recognizing that it's Jesus who's doing the work. And even if we've been away from our faith for a time, Jesus is still there, working his work. And when we open ourselves to the story of the Bible and the breaking of the bread, to word and sacrament, our hearts will burn and our eyes will be opened and we will see the resurrected Christ who conquered death standing in our lives, reminding us that we are not at the end of our story, and inviting us to be part of an even bigger story. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the risen Savior. We thank you for the empty grave, the eyewitnesses who saw him like Cleopas and his friend here in Luke 24. We thank you, God, that this is not just a clever metaphor or a mystical experience, but that Christ has conquered death. And Lord, you know each one of our lives intimately. You know the beginnings and the endings that are happening in our lives today. May we discern the risen Christ in our lives. For we pray these things in his name. Amen.